One of the pleasures that we have as body is we celebrate when children come to our families. A very special event took place this week for the Klein family. And now this event took place a long time ago for them. It had already happened, but in the eyes of the state and every other entity, something became very official this week. And that is that this little boy that has been such a pleasure to them over, what, 3.5 years? Is that how long it's been? 3.5 years. He has now become theirs officially. And so, Ren, if you would bring all your family up here. Right here where they can see you, man. Handsome young man. I guess one day in about 20 or 30 years, he's going to wake up one morning and look back and say, man, did God bless me. His family is already saying that today as he's been a blessing to them. This week it took place officially. And now he is officially a Klein. Ren Matthew. You know, the scripture talks about Jesus, how in Luke 2:52, that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And that's the blessing as we as a church participate in this this thing we call child dedication. As we as a church just agree in a public fashion that Ren is family and we become a part of his life. The church that Audrey grew up in, and it's true also of our church, but I'm thinking of them years ago. When I started dating her and going to their church, I didn't know who was what you call blood family and who was their adopted family in that, because it all just ran together for me. And that's how it is on the face of the planet here. On this side of heaven, God gives us this gift called the church, the body of Jesus, the parts of Jesus. And this little boy is a part of that as he's a part of this family. So we want to pray this blessing over him today as we dedicate ourselves to a coming agreement with what God has done. All the red tape has been cut through now. No more house inspections. No more getting the house ready because the caseworker's coming by. No more we've got to fill out this in triplicate for this or that entity. He belongs. That's a wonderful feeling to belong, isn't it? So if you want to come down here as we lay hands on him, y'all come on in, family, kind of in a little circle, a little tight right here. If you want to come down and lay hands, yeah, right here. Right here, dog. You got the boy. This can be a bit overwhelming, can it? Well, we'll give you some red Kool-Aid right after that. All right. Ren Matthew Klein, we anoint you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in your word, you show us what real adoption is about. Lord, we don't become partial. We're all in. Lord, this family is all in with Ren, and we join them in this joy today as we present this child before you in your presence. thank you, Lord, for all you've done in his life. But Lord, we're thanking you even more so of what you're going to do. All the ways in which you're going to use him. Lord, I'm looking forward to that day when Ren is going to publicly confess Jesus as his Savior and Lord. We look forward to that day. Lord, I thank you for the joy that he is to us, to his family. And now, Lord, we pray your protection over him. We truly pray you would guard his mind and his heart, guard him physically. And we pray this blessing. May he grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And if you agree with this prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
I said I wasn't going to cry. Let me do it twice.
All right, before you go, I've got one more thing to give you. This will require some action on your part. First of all, a little New Testament there. That's for you, Ren, to remember this day. And then a certificate suitable for framing. But it will require that his parents sign their name down here. And it says, Sycamore Church, knowing him, making him known, we commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of our child, Ren Matthew Klein, entering into this commitment with our church family as part of congregational worship on this date, August 5th, 2018. Dusty Reynolds, Senior Pastor, Matt and Lauren, we'll get your John Henry on that, or Hancock. What's your Hancock? There you go. Thank you. All right. God bless y'all. Bless you, man. Bless you. And we do welcome y'all today. All right, kiddos, you can go to Kid Zone right now. Notice that Adrian has a haircut. He let somebody get his top knot. Speaking of Adrian, a friend of ours brought this back for us from overseas. It's a replica of the Crown of Thorns. And I hope you'll pay attention to that. It's interesting, for the service, Adrian came up to me. He was looking and I said, "What is that?" And I explained to him, I said, "This is what they put on Jesus' head before he was crucified." He said, "Man, it's sharp. That would hurt a lot." And I said, "Do you mind if I just let you feel?" And I put it up to him. He said, "Oh, that would hurt." I said, "Imagine that." Anyway, a good lesson. I don't think he's going to forget that today. But I put this out here today just as a reminder of how much Jesus loves us, what he suffered for us. Now, we started a new series of messages last week, Stories That Live, talking about the parables of Jesus. And definition of a parable, it's a story that is thrown alongside life to reflect truth. It's like a mirror that is beside your life that you can look in and see yourself. The very word para, bull, it's parabole. It's a compound word in the original language, and it means alongside and to throw. Like you throw a ball. Para, alongside, like parallel lines. And bole, to throw. So, when Jesus was telling these stories, he was throwing a story alongside people's lives so they could learn. It usually had one point, one primary point that he was getting across. And we'll get to that in this one in just a few moments. If you have your Bible, or if you have one of our little outlines, it has a scripture there. This is from the NLT, New Living. And it's found in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. You'll turn there. While you're turning to that, let me give you a little report. So, I meant to have my phone out here so I could read exactly what Doug said. You know, Pastor Dane, Doug Dorman, David Lonas, who used to be pastor at Whitmarsh Island Baptist Church. We knew David from another life. And then Nate Dorman, one of Doug's kids, who's a professional surfer. The four guys went as a team on this mission. They left on Thursday. They had their first big open opportunity as they taught a good part of the day on Saturday. And I text Doug. I said, how'd it go? And he sent me some pictures. And these are his words. He said, Dane killed it. In other words, it went really, really well. I want you to pray for them. They're traveling to a conference today, a Christian conference that's also associated with a surfing competition and a conference for Christian professional surfers. They're going to be doing some counseling there, and I don't know what all else. It's going to be an adventure for them. So please be praying for Pastor Dane, for the team, as they'll be away until the 15th, 12th. I have to look at my calendar. I can't remember. And I'll try to let you know as we get reports in of what's going on and how we can pray for them. But God has really answered our prayers so far. All right, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. In this chapter 15, you have a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Three stories that are there. The story, the parable that we're going to share is the lost sheep. Hear the word of God. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he'll call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I've found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I ask you, as we have read your word now publicly, I ask you to reveal your truth to our hearts today. God, I'm asking you that today you'd bind the enemy of our souls, that he would not have access to any of us, anything that belongs to us, to this time that we share together. May we hear your voice clearly and plainly. Lord, forgive us right now of the sin of going before and saying, "Well, God has nothing for me today." Lord, I know that you will speak to all of us today if we'll open. Let us hear your voice right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, instead of giving you a normal kind of outline today, I gave you four questions. Here's the first one. Looking at this story, who is attracted to Jesus? We see it at the outset, at the beginning. It says, tax collectors, and other, I like the, they took a few liberties here, but like the NLT, and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus. So who is really attracted to Jesus? It's the people who need Him, or the people who want what they think He can provide for them. They see a spark of something that they know they don't have, and they would like to have that. Imagine that. In His day, you had the tax collectors. Where did they stand in society? They were the... No one liked the tax collectors. People hated them. They had no friends. The only friends that that they would have weren't friends at all as people that they could buy in some way, who were so in some way dependent upon their money because they stole from people. The way it worked was you were given this job by the Romans to collect the taxes. And the Romans said, "We want this much," and they didn't care how they got it. There was really no there was no accountability for them. They made their own rules. We see that in the story of Zacchaeus also in Luke 19. As he had all this money, he was a rich man. And so these people saw in Jesus something. Something that was missing in their lives. There was a lostness. Do you see the parallel here as Jesus sees these people and He tells a story? Now, those who had the best seat in the house to watch all this going on, who else came to watch the show? It was the Pharisees and religious leaders. They wanted to be there to catch these people because they wanted in some way to discredit Jesus any way that they could. And so they were hanging around always, not as an encouragement, but always as a to try to tear down, in some way to eliminate this message of good news. Because after all, they had a corner on the religious market. They were the connoisseurs of what was good in religion and what was bad in religion. They were the ones that were deciding. And then on to the scene steps Jesus, and wherever Jesus goes, there is light. So darkness is being light. When Jesus comes there, each place they went, people are just drawn to Him, and what they're drawn to, they can't really describe it. I want you to think back when you came to Jesus. Could you describe everything that drew you to Him? But you knew deep within you that there was something that He offered that was not part of you that you wanted. You wanted that kind of peace. You wanted that kind of joy. You wanted that light in your life. And you knew you were missing something. There was a hole in you. A hole. And it needed filling. You see, these are the people that are still attracted to Jesus. Do you know why most of America turns their back on God and on Jesus? Because we don't think we need Him. We think everything, we have all of this stuff, and we've allowed stuff to take the place of Jesus. We've allowed the dollar to take His place. Let me tell you, the two times that I've been to Nigeria, I've yet to preach the gospel in a public setting and not seen a person come by faith to Jesus. That hadn't happened to me yet in Nigeria. And And you think, well, how addictive is that for people that go on these mission trips and they keep wanting to go back? Well, one of the reasons why is that they see, you see the hunger that is there. You see people that are really dealing with the issues in their life. They're not perfect by any stretch, but at least they're recognizing, I've got a hole in my life. And Jesus can fill it. Second question. Who does Jesus go after? It gets a little more complicated, doesn't it? So as he tells this story has a couple of prongs to it. This man has, the shepherd has 100 sheep. One of them gets lost. What does he do? Well, what would you do? It depended on how I felt about the sheep. When it was lost. If I felt like, well, I could do without that sheep, then what's one when you already have 99? Think about it. But yet, he brings everything to bear. Now, the closest I can get to describing that kind of feeling, things that happen in our society, you know, this girl, have they found her yet? That was this college student or the... They hadn't found her yet. They brought resources. She's on the news. They're showing her picture. People, the whole community, little community, it was from the 400 people, get out and give up a whole day to go look for her. You think of that kind of energy when a child is lost. When I was, we were living on 59th Street. I was about 3 years old, 4 years old. Our next door neighbor, they had a shop there, the Sanders did. And I loved to go in there and, you know, just mill around. And Mr. Sanders, he was out in the shop working on some stuff. And I went over there to see him, next door neighbor, you know, in the neighborhood. Well, he's the only one who knew I was over there. My mother realized I was gone out of the backyard, and she went into a panic. And I mean, like that, the whole neighborhood. I grew up over here in Bingville, between Bull and Montgomery, and the whole neighborhood was out there. I mean, everybody was out looking for me. I was gone for about an hour. Now, I want you to think about, how do you think my mother felt for that hour? Huh? How would you feel as a parent, as a mom or a dad? This on Saturday, my dad was home. They were frantically searching for me because I was lost. So immediately, all resources were turned to bear on this one person. You know, if I never in my life felt like I was important, I was important that day because I was important to everybody there because they were going after me. Well, who does Jesus go after? In the story, all of his energy, because he is the good shepherd. All of his energy goes after this one lost sheep. I don't know how you feel really about God. And there's an application here, not just for people that have never come to Christ, but for those who know him as their Savior. This is how Jesus feels about you. Now, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's omni-everything, fill in the blank. So, for him to be able to do this, to turn all of his attention upon you, that's how he feels about you. That's how he feels about your relationship with him. That's how much he loves you. There are no sheep that are up here and sheep that are down here in his mind. There are no favorites. Well, I guess there are favorites. We're all favorites. My mother tried to explain that to me one time. All favorites. Audrey and I have tried to explain it to our children. How can we all be favorites? Surely you've got to like one of us better than the other. Huh? How many of you have fallen for that trap as a parent? And then when you look at them, you think, there's no way I can compare you with your brother or your sister. You're so different. We were talking about that earlier today. See, you're so different. But imagine how God feels about all of us, and yet we're all His favorites. He goes after us. Let me tell you, Jesus has been pursuing you your whole life. He's been after you with His love to intersect with you and to bring you back home. Now, some of us go kicking and screaming, and we'll tell Him, I don't want to be found. And surely, I guess there are some sheep that when they see the shepherd, they still want to run. It's happened to us. We have a little black dog, Daisy Duke, and when she escapes sometime, I mean, she knows nothing about life on the outside. She knows nothing about that. She doesn't realize how good she has it. But occasionally, it's like she's waiting, and you know, and she's in the starting gate for somebody to open that front door, and like a rocket, she's out. And then the chase begins. Whatever we're doing, we have to stop and chase that dog. And you get to the point where you almost get your hand on her, and then what does she do? Off again. Off again. July 3rd, the evening of July 3rd, we made a mistake of leaving her home outside. That was not good. We were not good pet owners that night. And we had one of these little camera things on our doorbell. So, and mostly what it is, about 99 times during the day, it's Bagheera the cat getting up from moving from one side of the porch to the other. And the possum that comes at night to check to see if the food bowl is empty. But we're on our way home. We've just left. We're having dinner with some friends about 10 o'clock. And Audrey says, Daisy's at the front door. And she's at the front door. She shouldn't be at the front door. So we're calling the people in the neighborhood anyway, kind of organizing the search before we even get home. And long story short, we get home. She's busted through the gate, broke a 1x4 board to get through the gate. And we can't find her. We're riding around for hours. This went on for three and a half hours, riding around. Audrey's putting stuff on Facebook, on our little Facebook neighborhood thing. And finally she gets this text back from Army Major that lives around the corner from us, said, I'm on it. I've checked the Southwest quadrant. It is clear. And he's given us these updates. I mean, it's fantastic. Well, now I'm on the bicycle. I've ridden all over South Bridge. I thought, how far could she get if she just ran? She ran. So I'm around in the corner, and I see Audrey's calling me, and she says, he found her. And I see this army guy, and he's got something black in his arm. He's just walking out, and I go up there. And there's my dog. And so I get her, and she was very glad to see me. I said, where did you find her? She wasn't even a half a block from our house. She was in the bushes. She was scared. She saw him walk by and she finally ventured out. You see, you can run away. But man, when people are looking for you and somebody that loves you, now, how much does a dog know? I don't know, but I mean, this dog's got it good. I mean, really, really good. Audrey tells me sometimes I treat the dog better than her. But I want you to know today, Jesus is pursuing you. He's even pursuing you right now. Third question, what makes Jesus happy? When he was found, he will joyfully carry him home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he'll call together friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, there's joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and who haven't strayed away. Now, there may be a little double entendre here. There may be just a little, because remember who the crowd is. He's speaking. What makes Jesus happy is when he finds the sheep and the sheep allows himself to be found. Doesn't run away. But gladly comes home. Daisy Duke finally had enough and decided to come out of the bushes. It's time to come home. But there's another group here that I believe that it, because Luke was very specific in who the audience was. It was these tax collectors and these other notorious sinners. But you have and he says, and the Pharisees and these teachers of the law are there and they're watching the whole thing. And I know Jesus is not going to let that kind of opportunity go past him. There's got to be a zinger in there for them. Because he wants them to come home too. So when he says 99 who don't need, who are righteous, who in that group that Jesus was addressing thought of themselves as righteous? These Pharisees. I'm here to tell you today, if you want to make Jesus happy, come home. Come home. Let him receive you. His arms are open wide. Just like at the third story in this chapter, it talks about the prodigal son. His daddy saw him from afar. So his daddy is looking for him. And he comes home to open arms. Now, I won't say that to some of us who as believers, we've put ourselves in another category and we've said, well, you know, maybe I know I have Jesus in my life, but maybe he just treats me kind of as a stepchild. No, sir. He is continuing to pursue you. Because he wants a full, look at me. He wants a full relationship with you. Everything that he had planned for us. You think about your children. What kind of relationship do you want with your child? Do you want a little bit of a relationship? Or do you want the fullness of everything that relationship has to offer? I got a letter on Friday from Finley. It's my grandson, one of my grandboys. And he put love, wrote out, and I know Megan did part, but I can tell, he put love, and on the other side, Poppy. Poppy. Man, when you drive up and he's looking out the window because he knows you're about to come and when your vehicle pulls in the driveway, that door flies open and those little legs are just running fast as they can and those arms are out and he's saying, "Poppy!" Gamma! That's a full relationship. There's nothing in between. There's nothing left in the bag. There's nothing reserved for later. It's just, there it is. There it is. That makes Jesus happy. That kind of relationship with Him. Number four, final question. So what are you worth to Jesus? Well, I figured up, I went on the net, did the necessary calculations. The total sum of the minerals that are in your body, and by the way, the skin is the most valuable part of your body. I don't know if you knew that. You're worth $4.50, figuring in inflation. Four and a half, that's you. Not even a five spot yet. Four and a half. Four and a half. That's what you're worth. But is that what you're worth to Jesus? Are you? You think about it. This is the one who left everything to go after you. That's who He is. That's His character. That's how He feels about you. Drop everything. My mother, that day, when she was living, I mean, up until a few years before she died, she was telling me that story again. She said, "Son, I just can't tell you what was going on in my heart when I thought that maybe I had lost you." What are you worth to Jesus? Now, if you've got this thought in your mind, "Well, I don't know if Jesus cares very much about me," or this one, "You know, He's got a lot of other people He's got to deal with," and, you know, or this one, "You know, if He knew what I have done," well, He knows, by the way. And we can keep going with those statements. But if you have any of those thoughts or thoughts like them, let me tell you today, they didn't come from Jesus. They came from the enemy who has lied to you. And you've come in agreement with that lie. And so that lie has come to rule your life. I want you to know today, He is pursuing you. Isn't it time to come out of the bushes and let yourself be found? Isn't it time? Some of you that are here today, you've never made that initial decision. You're separated from Him. And today I want you to know He loves you. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He went through the suffering that He went through. Because of you. You'd have been the only one. That's what that story says. If you'd have been the only one, 99, yeah, one, I'm going after Him. He would have come after you, and He did. Today's the day. We're going to invite you to publicly profess your faith in Jesus today. You've never made that transaction. That happened to me when I was 15 years old. I encourage you to make that decision today. The other application, and that's most of us that are here, we've known Jesus for a while, and we've gotten sloppy. And we're in some way denigrating or putting away from us. We're putting up barriers against His love. And we're thinking, a lot of us are thinking, "Well, you know, I want to make my own decision." Let me tell you, with what some of us have for brains, you think about some of your decisions you've made. How'd that work out for you? Have you ever been closer to the Lord in your life than you are today? It's time to come back. It's time to realize how much He loves you. And He's pursuing you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to help you. Don't you think you ought to let Him? We got Daisy Duke back that night. It was about 1:30. I took her in my arms. And I brought her home. There was rejoicing in our house. And Daisy didn't leave our side. If a dog can figure it out, what's wrong with us? Rick, Regina, Dusty and Audrey going to be here. You want to pray with us, you can. But the altar is going to be open for you to come and respond. I'm calling for a response today. Stories that live. And you can't tell me today you haven't thought about this. You've been engaged. What's God speaking to you right now? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Welcome to come. Come, stir us. Come, draw us to Jesus today. Bind the enemy, Lord. Come now in this ministry time. In Jesus' name. Baskets are here in the back. We'd sure like to get those cards from you if you have a prayer request or new information. We'll receive those cards and your offering, your tithes at this time. One thing I want to leave you with is I was reading this the story again this week in Luke 15. And several things that happened this week. I had this discussion with several people during the week. The way God looks at you. Some of you have been victims of terrible abuse in your life. I want to remind you today that that does not define you. Do you hear me? Jesus sees you and He loves you. He sees you as that creation that He struck in His own image. And He's going after you. And He wants to restore everything that the devil has stolen from you. I want to encourage you with that word today. And not just when we say abuse, many times we think of just one gender. We think of the ladies. Some of you guys have never shared some of what has gone on in your life with another human being. I just want you to know today, He leaves the 99 to go after you. That's how much He loves you. We love you. Lord bless you. Today as you go, make sure if you haven't come up and got a good look at the happy face of Mr. Wren, that you'll do that today before he leaves. And it's been good to be with you today. Continue to pray for Pastor Dane, and we'll try to give you some updates. And then all of our other people that are scattered from here to Hayhira all over the place. So let me send you out with this. Now, may the authority of God the Father, Yahweh, the one who is above us, be upon you. May you listen to Him. May the love of Jesus baptize you anew so that you ooze out His love everywhere you go. And may the power of the Holy Spirit, even though you've convinced yourself with the lie that you don't have power, you do. The power of the Holy Spirit, may that power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, be upon you today. God bless you. Go in His grace. Amen.